Hello, what does an upset stomach mean to you? Is it heartburn when acid comes up into your throat if you lie down or exercise after a meal? Do you have a feeling of fullness making you want to loosen your belt or your bra? Or is it nausea or even vomiting? Well, if you've just had your lunch and ate too fast, too much, or a lot of fatty food, then you won't be surprised and usually an antacid will do the trick. But if you're having digestive problems that persist or get worse and are unusual for you, then there may be a better remedy or more of a problem which does need investigating. Well, call us now with your questions about stomach ache and indigestion, the number 08700 100 444, or you can email us checkup@bbc.co.uk, and you can put your questions to our medical expert today, David Evans, who's Professor of Gastrointestinal Physiology at Barts and the London Hospital. We have our first call waiting to speak to you, David, and he's Harry. He's called from North Manchester. Go ahead, Harry, your question, please.
I suffer from a very acidic stomach. It's come in the last 5 years, and I am taking Gaviscon and Omeprazole capsules for this. And I was wondering if this will ever pass away and any other things that I might take for it.
Well, we have an expert in acid reflux. So, David, is this going to get better for Harry, given that he's already taking, something Gaviscon he mentioned, and Omeprazole, I think it was, as well?
Oh, hello, Harry. Yes, you're taking one of the most powerful drugs we have, which is Omeprazole. And the Gaviscon is really only to help people with mild reflux. Could I ask you, is it improving your symptoms while you're taking it?
Yes, it varies, actually. For the last 3 fortnight, I've just been taking the Gaviscon once a night.
Well,
intermediately, I have these ready, and then I may have a period when I need to take the pills again.
Right, and your GP prescribed the pills, presumably, for you?
No, I went to see a specialist.
You did, right. So you're being well looked after by the profession, and it sounds like you've got a chronic reflux problem, which is notorious for coming and going from time to time. It's often related to your lifestyle, the type of food you eat, and if you feel you're sensitive to any particular food, I would try and avoid it. That may help. But it's not an uncommon chronic problem that people suffer from in this country. Probably about a third of the population, I think, from time to time, and mostly we treat this condition as you're being treated medically, and if the omeprazole is helping you, I think unless your GP was unhappy that you should have any further investigations, and I think probably you might have to put up with it. How old are you, Harry?
I'm over 67.
You are? Okay. Well, that's quite a young 67 these days, so I wouldn't worry about it. But if you've not had any investigations at all at the moment?
When I went to see the specialist, he put that thing down my throat.
You've had a camera down, they've had a good look round, and they found nothing sinister.
No.
So I think really it sounds like you have got a chronic reflux problem to me.
Yes.
And you're taking the right medication for it.
And so with time it might it improve, do you think?
I hope so. But at least you're running down the right lines, okay?
Thanks for that, Harry. Thanks for setting us off. And you mentioned that powerful class of drugs which suppress the acid. And that's really been a big breakthrough, has it not, for clinicians, so that they have really something very helpful to give patients. Of course, as long as the patients take it. And would that be the point, that if you are diagnosed with this acid reflux, you will need to take that medicine perhaps for a length of time, perhaps forever?
Yes, there are a number of classes of acid suppressing drugs, and the newest ones are known as PPIs, which are proton pump inhibitors, and they suppress approximately 90% of the acid that the stomach produces. So any reflux or any stomach contents that are going to places where they shouldn't is not damaging the lining of the digestive tract. So they do work very, very well, and they really are the mainstay treatment in this type of problem these days.
Well, I guess we'll hear from others. In fact, David Hooper wants to speak to us from Reading, and I think he's taking an acid suppressant. Suiting you or not, David? Is it doing the trick?
Yeah, it does suit me, and I vary the dose according to the severity of the reflux. A thing I wondered about was that I wonder whether diet could play a part in this and reduce the reliance on the drug, or perhaps even do without it.
Are you one of these, and there are many of us, who would prefer not to take medicine if we can do something about it ourselves? Is that what you're guessing at?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And this is about sort of something you could take. I mean, I have had an email suggesting that the trick is to drink sliced ginger and boiling water, which works in 20 minutes, according to Jackie.
Oh, right.
And Joan, another one, has said that she was put onto a Turkish drink when on holiday, and that contains plain yogurt, water and a pinch of salt, and she's found it very helpful for excess acid. It has a name, it's called Arion. How does this play with you, David, as the expert?
Well, I think the two points are that diet is important, and I think a lot of the dyspeptic problems these days, particularly in our Western societies with processed foods and a whole range of available foods on the supermarket shelves that we never had before, can play a role in this type of problem.
Any in particular that you're thinking of?
Well, in classes of food, you know, the classic ones are spicy food, which people feel they may be sensitive to, and this is possibly due to the capsaicin in curries that plays a role in the normal stomach function. Fatty foods are particularly, it's noticed that cause a problem as well, because fat's handled by the stomach in a different way to protein and carbohydrate, in that it takes rather a longer time to digest it. And if the stomach takes a longer time to digest something, it remains there for a longer time, and perhaps more acid is produced than necessary. So I would advocate a healthy diet, you know, which has got a good balance of protein, fat and carbohydrate without overdoing any of it, and that may help. I'd also say to you, David, that if there's any particular food that you feel you're sensitive to, just stop taking it. And that's a lot easier than taking, you know, constant medication.
And what about things, though, you might take if you've got symptoms, that like the ginger, if you like? Any others that you've heard of that seem to work for people?
Oh, I think there are hundreds of medications of this type, and I'm fairly pragmatic about that. I think if you feel it helps you, and as long as it's not poisonous or toxic, you should carry on with it. But in general, if we look at the classes of drugs that we use for treating this type of problem, they're usually somehow related to suppressing the amount of acid you produce, or to kicking your stomach into action and making it empty more quickly.
Well, we'll see if any more remedies are on offer. But David, thank you very much for that question. Teresa wants to speak to us. Teresa in Bedfordshire, hello.
Oh, hello, good afternoon.
And your question, please.
I turned the terrible 40 the back end of last year, having never suffered from any indigestion or gastric problems at all. And in the last 3 to 4 months, I've suddenly begun to suffer from indigestion, heartburn, sort of every 1 to 2 weeks. Sometimes it's very mild, sometimes it's more severe. I haven't changed my diet or my routines, and I'm just wondering why this is happening. Is it just an age thing because I'm getting older? Is there anything I can do to help? And really, should I go and see my doctor because it's just started occurring?
Well, I'm so sorry to hear you talking about getting older at 40. But anyway, is there something in this? Is indigestion known to be in any way age-related, would you say, David?
There's no real evidence that it's there's any particular the onset comes at any particular age. And in fact, I see patients who are as young as 2 to 3 months old, or even premature babies, right up to octogenarian. So, but there does seem to be a bump in the frequency of this problem at around the Middle Ages. And that's probably not surprising because we probably tend to be more affluent. Perhaps our diet changes to a slightly richer type of food stuff when we get to that sort of age. Maybe we don't exercise quite as much as we did. What I would say is that dyspepsia and reflux type symptoms, which you have, are multifactorial. And if we said there were 7 or 8 risk factors, and maybe you were born with 1 or 2, and then you acquired a couple when you were in your teens in your early adult life, and then you acquired another 1 or 2 as you get to 40, suddenly you become symptomatic, and it's difficult to stop that process.
So what would be risk factors then for perhaps getting indigestion, more than perhaps just the obviously big meal that you've eaten rather too quickly, which can cause anybody to have a bit of pain and discomfort?
I think long-term risk factors are things like hiatus hernia, weak sphincter valve, which prevents acid coming back from the stomach into the esophagus. Obesity, I'm afraid, weight gain is certainly a factor which we would try and get to grips with, because weight gain tends to increase the pressure in the stomach and the stomach region, and tend to push things up rather than allow them to go down.
Smoking and drinking, do they come into the picture?
I think alcohol will play a part because it's an irritant to the stomach wall. Smoking, I think the jury's out a bit on that one. I don't think there's any hard evidence, but there is some evidence to suggest that some of the metabolites of smoking may play a role as well.
Teresa, you phoned, and I'm glad you did, for information and a bit of advice. But is that reassuring enough, or are you thinking, well, you know, I'm not, I know me, and this isn't me, and
from a weight gain point of view, I haven't really changed my weight really much in the last 10 years or so. I suppose, as you said, you do get slightly more affluent as you get older, and I suppose progressively I've sort of do eat slightly more rich foods and perhaps drink a little bit more than I used to, which may well be a factor. But yes, it doesn't seem to sort of explain perhaps why it's come on quite so suddenly and why it's quite so severe.
So what would be the next step for Teresa or others who, you know, continue to be concerned? Maybe they'll make a few dietary changes, maybe it will make a difference, maybe it won't. Visit to the doctor?
I think the visit to the doctor is the next thing. Have you seen your GP at all?
No, I haven't. Right. I've just been sort of, you know, hoping it would go away,
I suppose. I think now's the time to go and visit your GP, because he's the root, he or she will be the route to specialists like myself.
Okay.
The normal routine would be he would refer you to a gastroenterologist at your local hospital, who will almost certainly do perform an endoscopy on you to have a look down with a camera to see whether there's anything that we should be concerned about.
And this is generally to rule things out rather than rule them in. It
is indeed.
Right.
If that all comes back as negative, he probably put you on a course of one of these new drugs, these proton pump inhibitors, unless you've been on them already. Mm. And then after that, you might get to see somebody like me to see whether you've got an underlying weakness, which we should be thinking about dealing with in another way.
Okay. All right, that's much further down the line, though. So we leave it at that. But thanks for the call, Teresa. You mentioned there, David, treating and seeing very young babies and children with reflux disease. Christopher Owen joins us now from Ringwood. Christopher, I think this has been your experience. From being a child, you've had a problem. Can you explain?
Well, yeah, since I was 10 years old, I suppose, I've had this hyperacidity all my life. So I've been taking these antacid tablets, which work for a short time, they're fine. I've had a couple of endoscopies, and the most recent one was a couple of months ago, and then I was put on Zoton, you know, this gastro-suppressant, and that works beautifully, and for the first time in my life, I've got a sort of a normal stomach, except I can't drink white wine. That's the only thing I can't drink.
Oh, never mind.
Red wine's fine.
So really, that's a success story, you're saying.
Yeah, but how long can I go on? The question I was going to ask was, how long can I go on taking these safely? These Zotons.
Is it Christopher?
Yeah.
Could I ask your age, Christopher?
58.
The experience we have with this class of drug is that we've had patients on them for many years now, 20 years. One of them's been around. They appear to be very safe. But clearly, we do not like patients to be on drugs indefinitely.
No.
If you've had a problem since you were 10, it is highly likely that you have a some form of possibly congenital weakness in that area, and you may like it to be investigated a little further. You've had endoscopies, I hear.
Yes.
And anything found there?
No, nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
A bit of slight inflammation, but nothing.
Yes, which is probably caused by acid reflux.
That's right.
But one of the things I do is to investigate people like yourself, and there are a few centres around the country who can do that for you. And you're in Hampshire, I think, aren't you? Certainly your local hospitals would be able to organise it. Best done through your specialist who probably did the endoscopy for you.
Right. I mean, my grandmother had the same problem almost. She used to live on, as far as I can remember, these sort of tablets. And so I probably inherited it.
Possibly.
But you're a bit luckier, though, Christopher, because these PPI, these proton pump inhibitors, are a new class of drug. I guess she didn't have. So it would have been just literally taking the antacids, the bicarb of soda and all that.
Kind of old-fashioned
cold milk
medicine.
So what's behind your question is this idea that you will be taking them indefinitely.
Well, are they safe to take indefinitely, and what sort of tests have been done on them, and what's the
Well, as I say, these drugs appear to be very safe, but I think what the profession is concerned about is having people on long-term acid suppression indefinitely, because obviously your stomach produces acid for a reason, and it does help the digestive process. It does act as a bacteria stat. It kills the bacteria in the food. So without that, you are at slight risk to bacterial infection and the like. So even your doctor might just say to you, well, maybe it's time to think of something else at some stage if you've been on these drugs for perhaps, I don't know, 5, sometimes 10 years.
Yes.
So it is something, nothing sinister, but something to bear in mind for the future. 58's rather young these days, so you know you've got quite a few years ahead of you. But the time to make decisions about whether you want to do anything further, don't wait till you're 75 or 80, because we may offer you an operation. You might not be suitable for one at that age.
All right, Christopher, we'll leave it there if we may, and move to South Yorkshire. Pat Barkworth wants to speak to David Evans, our expert today. Pat, hello.
Hello.
And your question, please.
Thank you. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hello. I've been diagnosed for quite a long time now with a hiatus hernia and take Gaviscon liquid as prescribed. But I do find now that I'm waking up in the night with reflux and needing to take another dose of Gaviscon. So would one of these acid suppressants help?
And before you answer that, David, just for the ignorant among us, just say a little bit about hiatus hernia so we understand what's going on here with Pat. I'm sure, Pat, you could do it as well if it's your problem, but let me ask.
Yes, Pat, as you probably know, a hiatus hernia is a defect at the level of the diaphragm where your oesophagus enters your stomach. And it is a condition that's associated with reflux or acid heartburn. So those with a hiatus hernia, which is, of course, a mechanical defect, are more prone to this problem. Now, there is an operation to repair the hiatus hernia, which in the past has had rather a bad press, I think, because it involved opening the chest to make the repair. But for the last 10 or so years, it's now being performed keyhole surgery, which is making the surgery rather less traumatic for the patient. And in selected patients, and the selection process is very carefully done, that operation might be offered to somebody like yourself if your physician felt you would be appropriate.
Oh.
Now, the appropriateness of that condition is usually derived by some rather specialised tests, which is what I do, basically, which is to examine the function of your lower oesophagus and also to see exactly how much acid reflux you're getting, particularly at night with you, because it's obviously happening when you're asleep and when you're lying down.
Yes, I find it's worse if I lie on my right side. I can't lie, when I first go to bed, I can't lie on my right side at all. But as the evening progresses, you know, as it goes through the night, I do tend to turn over. That's sometimes when I get the reflux, but also, I can sometimes lie on my right side quite safely, later on, but certainly not when I first go to bed.
Yes. I think I probably would advise you to pursue this a little bit further. You've had it a long time. Mm. And could I ask your age?
67.
Right. And, of course, at 67, keyhole surgery is sort of certainly would be appropriate for you as well. But we would only do that on a very, very small percentage of patients.
Yes, I understood that, that, you know, doctors were a bit reluctant to perform this operation.
Yes.
Well, you have the word from David that it's worth pursuing. Whether or not it's you're entirely suitable will be down to your specialist when it comes to it. But thanks for the call, Pat. It gives us the chance to just talk about lying down, going to bed, after a meal, and the tendency is, of course, if you're at all prone to this, then you're going to get acid reflux, perhaps burning right through up into the throat. I do wonder whether the acid reflux is actually doing real damage. It's quite unpleasant. It's quite uncomfortable. Is there a real problem with what it's doing to the lining of the gullet, for example?
Well, it can be. In fact, there are two classes of reflux. We call it non-erosive and erosive disease. Erosive merely means that it causes inflammation, and non-erosive means that it doesn't do that, but it still gives symptoms. But if the erosive type of reflux certainly will damage the lining of the esophagus. However, it's with a bit of help usually from these antacid preparations, the esophagus is well capable of renewing the lining, because that happens as part of normal life anyway. But I think if this continues over a long period, and we're really talking about years rather than months, it would be advisable to perhaps perform some of these investigations, certainly have an endoscopy, because of the worry that things may go on to something a little more sinister. In a very, very small proportion of people who have this problem, but it's certainly worth getting checked out over the long term.
Okay. Thank you very much for that call and for that answer. And to Chichester now, Peter Mosedale. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
And your question, please.
Well, all my life I've suffered from occasional very severe attacks of bloat. I think that's the word for it.
Bloating, feeling very distended?
Bloating.
Yes.
Yes. And it's always very painful, and I'm told that it can be quite dangerous too. But the best treatment I ever had for it was in Australia, where I had a bad attack. I was loaded flat out into the back of a station wagon, taken to a doctor, who gave me a pill and said, if this doesn't work in 10 minutes... we shall have to stick you as we would a bloated cow, which certainly encouraged me. But the result of the pill was immediate and spectacular. And in fact, I was more or less jet-propelled out of the surgery. I'd love to know what this was. I've never been able to find out. And I wonder if you have any thoughts at all on the best treatment for this.
Hmm. Well, it's a difficult one now, because bloating can be caused by many things. It could be caused by obstruction of the bowel, which is of course very dangerous. Or it could be simply just part of the digestive process and the gases that are produced by the stomach are not being relieved. It sounds as though you had a rather an acute event of something. I've been thinking about what that pill might have been. It sounds like a rather miraculous cure to me. And there are two types of treatment we use for, certainly for chronic bloating. Yours was rather an acute variety. One is to degas the stomach by the use of drugs we call anti-flatulence. They've usually got things like carbon in them or the like. Or another one is to make the stomach work more efficiently to try and dispel the gas from the stomach. But bloating is rather a common additional symptom in most types of dyspeptic problem, and it's usually related to the dyspepsia rather than a single underlying cause.
Yes.
I hope that's a little helpful for
you. Yes, thanks. I seem to get it with infection or eating something strange.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to take another call very quickly, because thank you for that. I hope that was helpful. Matthew, very quickly, I think you've got another problem which causes you some concern, which is...
Yeah.
Which is what?
Hello. Basically, the last sort of 8 months, I've started burping a lot, and it sort of just carries on burping, relevant of what I'm eating or what time of day it is.
OK, we got a very bad line, Matthew, but I think we heard the key word. burping, and I know that's come through in some emails, so very quickly, last few seconds, what do we do about burping?
Burping is, again, a very common problem. It's quite normal in most people. If it becomes excessive, it may be an indicator that you have some type of dyspeptic problem in the stomach, and I'm afraid it's just one of those things that we would normally treat symptomatically with the other types of condition, and I wouldn't be over worried about it if you don't have any other sinister symptoms.
So really something more antisocial than problematic, really.
And I think in some countries it seemed to be good.
Okay, thank you very much. We have to leave it there. Just time today to thank Professor David Evans and to thank our callers, our emailers and our listeners to this and all our other programmes over the past few weeks. If you need more information, you can call our helpline. It's free, it's confidential. The number is 0800 044 044. You can also go to our website at bbc.co.uk where you can listen again to this and our other topics. I'll be back with a new series on the 24th of February. Hope you'll join me then.
Check Up was presented by Barbara Myers and the producer was Deborah Cohen. If you've got a question arising from today's programme, that number for the Radio 4 Action Line again is 0800 044 044. And now Toya Wilcox presents the Radio 4 Appeal on behalf of a charity of which she is a patron. Inspire.
Imagine diving into a pool on a bright sunny morning and suddenly finding your body was paralysed. Carol, a 22-year-old athletic woman with a passion for swimming, did just that. What went wrong, she never knew, but she hit the bottom of the pool, breaking her neck and cutting her spinal cord, that super communication highway which runs between the brain and all parts of the body. When pulled from the water, Carol woke to a new and terrifying world. She was paralysed with no movement or feeling from the shoulders down, no bladder or bowel function, and unable to hold a glass to drink or a spoon to eat. Nothing that she'd taken for granted as part of her daily routine was now possible. And yet, like the title of Christopher Reeve's autobiography, she was still me. Today, thanks to the pioneering work funded by Inspire, Carol can again feed herself, open doors and write letters unaided. In her own words, she has her life back. Sadly, it's often the young and active in the prime of life who suffer spinal cord injury, which brings...